I don't know about you, but I find it somewhat offensive to be called a dog. I mean, if I was to take my daughter to the hospital because she's ill and dying, and I ask the doctor to please heal my daughter, and the doctor says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but the medicine in this hospital are for good Americans, not you Latino dogs," I might be offended by that. You see, every time I make a phone call to a realtor who tells me that the house I'm calling upon has already been sold or rented, I am reminded that I am a dog of society. When the first time offending Latino goes before a judge and receives a 10 times higher conviction rate than the first time white person going before a judge, I am reminded that we are the dogs of society. When our children are ripped from their mother's arm and placed in cages on the border, I am reminded that we are the dogs of society. When every 3 days, 4 brown bodies perish on our desert, I am reminded that we are the dogs of society. When a mass murderer could walk into an El Paso Target store and shoot Latinos at will, I am reminded that we are the dogs of society. And when one who held the highest office in this land referred to us as bringing drugs, problems, and a rapist, I am reminded that we are the dogs of society. You see, we are dogs to both conservatives and liberals, because conservatives believe we lack salvation, and liberals believe we lack intelligence. We need to be tutored by both sides. So forgive me, but when I read this passage, I find myself not wanting much to do with this Jesus, and instead find myself in solidarity with the Canaanite woman, with the other dog of society. Unfortunately, what the church all too often does is it tries to save Jesus from Jesus. In other words, we read this passage and we excuse Jesus because he's testing this woman's faith. But as I said, the way he tests it is somewhat offensive. Now, while the dominant culture may be fascinated with Jesus, we who live on the underside of this culture must ask honestly, is Jesus anti-Latino? Is there room for us in this gospel message? Was Jesus a racist? Now, let's begin to understand Jesus. First of all, we all create Jesus in our own image. All of us create Jesus to be like us. That way, it justifies everything we do. James Cone, the late James Cone, unfortunately passed away, was a tremendous theologian, and he wrote that all white Jesuses are satanic. And what he meant was that any Jesus that has nothing to say about slavery, nothing to say about Jim and Jane Crow, nothing to say about the racism that is prevalent in this society is a satanic Jesus. I would add to my colleague's statement by saying any Jesus who has nothing to say about our immigration crisis is also a satanic Jesus. And I want nothing to do with that Jesus. For me, any Jesus who is silent in the midst of our destruction and death is not the Jesus I want to follow. And for my own salvation, and I would guess for your own salvation, we have to reject this white Jesus and the white theology that has been built around this white Jesus. I said yesterday that all white theology and philosophy is detrimental to communities of color. And I gave the example that when the French cried out, Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité, it was never meant for their colonized people of color in Vietnam, Algiers, or in Haiti. Liberation was only for white French people, not for their colonized dogs. I also said yesterday that my intellectual mentor once wrote, El vino de plátano y si sale agrios sigue siendo nuestro vino. And for those who don't yet know the language of the angels, what that translates to is that we will make our wine out of plantains, and even if it comes out sour, it's still our wine. So just like everyone else who creates Jesus in their own image, I too must create Jesus in the image of the Latino population, because that's the Jesus that could bring me liberation. And that becomes that very first step in decolonizing my mind. That means when I read passages in the Bible, I have to read it with Latino eyes and not the eyes of the dominant culture. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. I'm sure you all heard the parable of the vineyard owner, right? That the vineyard owner wakes up one morning, he goes to the local hardware store and sees a bunch of Latinos standing there in the corner and says, oh, go out to my cornfield and go ahead and pick some corn and I'll pay you at 6 in the morning. About 9 in the morning, he goes to another drugstore and sees a bunch of Latinos and sends them to his field. At noon, he sees some more Latinos by the Home Depot and he sends them over to his field to work. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he runs across a few other Latinos and say, go to my field and work and I'll pay you. At the end of the day, he pays everybody the same exact amount of money. Now, between us, isn't this unfair? I mean, really, you only work 2 hours and you get the same amount of money that somebody who worked all day? Don't you find Jesus as being a little unfair here? So again, we need to save Jesus from Jesus. So we say something like, well, what Jesus is talking about is heaven. Doesn't matter when you come to Jesus, early in life or towards the end of life, you get to enjoy all the treasures of heaven equally. And we all go, ah, yes, good theology. But we forget that Jesus is talking to migrant workers, to people who work in fields. And he's not so much giving an eschatological lesson, he's giving a lesson about the here and now. And it is unjust. For us, it's unjust because we have created the idea of fairness that money equals time, right? Remember, that's a saying. Time equals, time is money. So if I work 1 hour, I get $7. If I work 2 hours, I get $14. If I work 3 hours, I get $21, right? That's fair. But what we miss in that equation is that if I only get to work 2 hours to no fault of my own because I was ready to work a whole day, but the patron didn't see me until the end of the day, and I only work 2 hours and get paid for only 2 hours, there are going to be people in my family who don't eat that day. And it is unfair, it is immoral for an employer to send away an employee with not enough calories to eat for the next day to work. That's the moral of the lesson, not some heavenly treasures. That the employee has a moral obligation to work and the employer has a moral obligation to make sure that every employee leaves with enough to eat so they could come and work the next day, regardless of how many hours they actually worked. But you see, we read the Bible through the eyes of those who own the vineyards yards, as opposed to reading the Bible through the eyes of those who are marginalized and need to work at the vineyard. So, going back to the Canaanite woman, Jesus calls this woman a dog. And the Canaanites were the racially outcasts of his day. I mean, the Canaanites were seen as half-breeds. They were seen as impure Jews. And because of this, Jesus' mission was only to the Jews, the pure Jews. I mean, he says in Matthew 10:5, and the first time he sends out his disciples, he tells them, do not turn your steps to pagan territory, and do not enter any Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The gospel message was only for those of his clan who were pure, not for the Canaanite dogs. Now, we also know that Jesus was tempted in all things. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. We know Jesus was tempted at the beginning of his ministry when he was tempted with possessions, turn these bread into these rocks into bread, with privilege, jump off the temple and the angels will catch you, and with power, worship me and all these kingdoms are yours. We also know he was tempted at the end of his ministry in Gethsemane, praying that please take this cup away from me. What makes us think Jesus wasn't tempted between those two points throughout the entire ministry? I would add that one of his temptations was dealing with the racism of his time. When Jesus was born, he wasn't born fully formed. He was a baby. He had to learn how to walk. He had to be potty trained. He had to learn how not to speak back at his mother. He had to learn how to function in society. And part of that learning was also learning the biases and prejudices of his society that saw the Samaritans as the dogs of society. But yet he meets this Canaanite woman, this woman of color, and he tells her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And again, he doesn't say I was first sent to them. He says I was only sent to them. The message of salvation is for no one else but my group, which is pure, not you half-breed dogs. Now, here's the good news. In Jesus, in his total humanity, was willing to learn from a woman of color. Jesus was willing to learn from those who were seen as inferior to him, as a man and as a pure Jew. From the underside of Jesus' society, his dominant religious culture learned something about the movement of God. And the question is, are we willing to learn something about the movement of God from the underside of Ames? Now, this woman was a border crosser. She crossed the borders of her racial identity to demand a healing, and she crossed the borders of her gender. The Canaanite's bold response to Jesus taught Jesus something about his ministry, that the message of salvation was not inclusive to his group, but as exclusive. How do we know this? After he meets the Canaanite woman, by the time we get to Matthew 28:19, Jesus is saying, go therefore to all nations and make disciples of them. Until the Canaanite woman, the gospel was only for the pure Jews. After the Canaanite woman, it was open for everyone. So, was Jesus a racist? Maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe we need to be asking, was Jesus a recovering racist? And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm a recovering sexist. Okay. See, it doesn't matter that I may march with women and demand that they get equal pay and you go, sisters. At the end of the day, society is going to be sexist for me. Society is going to pay women less than I do, that I get paid. I don't have to be a sexist. I could say all the right rhetoric and let society and my culture be sexist for me. Secondly, how can I not be a sexist? Not only did I grow up in a machismo Latino culture, I grew up in a misogynist Anglo culture. I got the worst from both cultures. They taught me how to be a sexist. And therefore, I am now spending the rest of my life trying to unlearn what I learned as a child. So I am a recovering sexist. That means once in a while I fall off the wagon and I say sexist things. Or I remain quiet when sexist things are going on, because it will interfere with my male privilege. In the same way, I'm a recovering homophobic, I'm a recovering colorist, I am a recovering classist. And you all need to admit you are recovering racist. How can you not be racist growing up in this culture? Now, doesn't mean you have to stay that way. It means, how do we begin to undo the damage since the time we were born? So Jesus, I would argue, was a recovering racist. And he was taught how to begin to dismantle his own racism and that of his society by this woman of color. And at this point, I want to say, in the church, learn its lesson, hallelujah, and we've moved on from that. And I could end the sermon here, but we know that would not be true. We know that's not true because the very first debate that the early church had was over circumcision, right? And you remember the circumcision debate was that before you become a Christian, you have to first become a Jew and then become a Christian. So the Gentiles had to first be circumcised, become Jewish, and then become Christian. See, in the same way, I am being asked that before I become a Christian, I must circumcise my identity and become Anglo and learn white theology and learn white philosophy and sing 300-year-old German hymns, and then I could then become a Christian. But what happens if I refuse to circumcise my identity? And here is the final good news. I could come to the table, to the banquet table set up in heaven, and bring my arroz con frijoles negros, my yuca, my boniato. I could come singing my coritos, and I could participate in that meal through my own cultural symbols. Jesus was willing to learn from this woman of color. Are we? Thank you.